Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish, are you there?
I am. I'm at a wonderful pizza shop. I venture to say it's the best in all of Texas. It's owned by Christians that go to our church.
Well, then it's definitely the best pizza in Texas, which isn't hard. But yes, it's definitely the best pizza in Texas.
Yeah, it's great. And I found a young couple, okay, they're parked outside of here. I'm going to buy them a pizza if they'll let me. And her name is Lindsay, and his name is Joseph. They both say that they're Christian. They're not sure where they'll go when they die. He says that he's doing about, I guess, a 3 with God, not doing real, real well. He said he's been doing better because he's been praying a lot. And she's just not really sure about where she'd go if she were to die. So you can choose if you'd like to talk to Joseph or Lindsay.
I think I'd prefer the guy.
Okay. Joseph, maybe you can put your cigarette out and
don't do
you'll
it too
die.
Now.
You roll down your windows.
Put a little mask
on.
Hello, Todd.
Joseph, how do you do?
I'm good. How are you?
It's a pleasure to meet you. What kind of cigarettes are you smoking?
Oh, Marlboro?
They're going to kill you, man. Stop it.
I know.
Stop it. We don't want you to die. Just put them down and don't ever pick them up again.
Yes, sir.
All righty. How old are you, Joseph?
I'm 21.
21. How come you think you're at about a 3 with God?
Because in the past, I have been closer and I've been falling away a little bit.
Yeah? And what do you mean by falling away? Sinning?
Yeah, I've definitely been sinning more often. I've been trying to quit smoking, but I just went ahead and bought another pack, and it's not what I want it to be, but I'm trying to quit and asking God to help me, and of course he will. He's been faithful in the past, and he will now.
What is the scale, by the way? If you're a 3, what is this, a 5-point or 10-point scale?
It's a 10-point scale.
Oh, dude, you're at a 3. There must be other things going on besides cigarettes.
Well, I said a 3 because of being a lot closer beforehand, and like I said, I've been falling away, so it's dissipating a little bit.
Okay, Joseph, in one sentence, tell me, how did you become a Christian? One sentence.
By faith. Okay. I believed and I received.
And what did you believe?
I believed that Christ had risen from the dead, came and died for my sins, and was glorified and manifested his Holy Spirit within my heart, and I was saved.
Joseph, when did that happen?
I'd say about a year ago.
Okay. Now, dude, I don't know if you're saved or not, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not your judge. But right. This is what I know. And I know this because I was this. I was a false convert. I was a guy who would have said, I'm a Christian till the cows came home. But my life, it didn't look at all like Jesus' life. And it was when I understood something that the light went on and I went, aha, that's why I'm only a 3 or a 2 or a 1 or a none. Ah, that's why those sins are still alive in my life. It's because I hadn't done something. All right?
Yes, sir.
And maybe you can examine yourself to see if you have done this thing too. And here's what it is, Joseph. It's repentance. Do you know what repentance is?
To turn away.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You are correct. To turn from something. Yep, that's a big part of it. There's more elements, though. What other parts of it are there?
I would say to turn away and to turn towards God and what he asks us and commands us to do.
Right, and to apologize and to forsake those sins and to give them up because you love the God who demonstrated his love by dying for you, a sinner. And the reason that I didn't repent is because I never fully grasped that concept that I was a really wretched, to the core, foul sinner. I never got that. So, Joseph, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Before God saved you, or at that time when you got saved, did you see yourself as a wretched, foul, filthy sinner?
Yes, sir.
To the core?
Yes, sir.
All right. And did you repent and say, God, I'm sorry, and turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ? Did you do that?
Not completely.
Okay. Then if you didn't do it completely, then you're not at all saved.
Yes, sir.
So what was missing? What went wrong?
Well, if I can be honest, drugs.
Oh, you're doing that too?
No, not in the past. I have.
Okay.
No, not currently.
Okay. So what did that have to do with it?
Well, I got into the wrong crowd and started doing drugs, and I got in trouble, and I figured out that that wasn't the way I needed to go. And so I turned towards Christ. I'd heard Christ before. I had gone to church as a child, and I repented in the fact that I had stopped doing drugs, and I had acknowledged that Christ is Christ. And I leaned on him and started trying to do what he asked me to do. And I guess I just didn't get the whole picture yet.
Well, you know what, Joseph, it could be motive, all right? I'm going to give you a Greek lesson right now. You didn't ask for this, but you're going to get it.
Okay.
There's two words that we can use for repentance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Metamelomai is one of those Greek words. And here's what metamelomai means. It means, I am so sorry. I got busted. I got thrown in jail. My parents are ashamed. I could lose everything that is precious to me. I'm really sorry. I got busted. I want things to go better. I don't want to jeopardize my stuff. That's metamelomai. The repentance that God seeks is a Greek word called metanoia, which means I am sorry because I have sinned against you, and you only have I sinned, my kind, wise, heavenly friend who died to rescue me, and all I did is spit in your face. I shook my fist. I did things I knew were wrong and foul, but I was the God of my own life, and I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry. Have mercy on me. Even if it meant going to hell, I'm still sorry because I have sinned against you, and you've been so kind. That is the repentance that God is looking for, because we've sinned against him, not because of the consequences. So, Joseph, maybe that's the crux of the issue here. There's a lot of times in Christianity where people will say, come to Jesus, and he's going to help you with this. He's going to make that go away. And boy, you don't know loving until you've been loved by Jesus. And people come with a false motive, and they never get rightly saved, because here's what God is looking for. He's looking for a broken heart and a contrite spirit.
Yes, sir.
So, Joseph, here's how you get to that place. Because I'll be honest with you, the Christian walk, nobody's ever always at a 10. That's not how it works. But our whole mindset and our whole attitude about sin and about him are radically different. And while we might not be firing on all 8 cylinders all the time, oh, our attitude toward our Savior, we hate sin and we love him. Joseph, here's how you get to that place, all right? So here's your homework for the day. If you, in your heart, realize that you have never metanoid, and all you did was repented because you wanted to get off drugs, or you had an emotional moment, and the sermon sounded good and the music sure was sweeping you away, you need to spend today, Joseph, thinking about your sins. That's the place to start. Joseph, not smoking, and whether that's a sin or not, I don't know. It's definitely stupid, but that's the least of your worries. Jesus said, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Innocent or guilty, Joseph?
That would be guilty.
How many times today?
Maybe just once or twice.
And you've got a girlfriend, and I'll leave it between you and her, how you've been treating her, and if you've been sinning against her, against your body, and against your God.
Yes, sir.
That's between you and God. Think about all of the times you've taken God's name in vain. Think about the shame that you've brought to your parents, how you didn't honor your father and mother by getting into drugs. It wasn't just doing drugs. It was sinning against your parents. You dishonored them by doing that. And the God who made you, instead of praising him every day and thanking him every day, you've lived like a little rebel. And when you start thinking about it in those terms, all of a sudden you start to realize, if I had died in a drug overdose and God gave me what I deserved, he should have sent me to hell, and it should cause you to shake, dude. But then when you feel like suddenly all is lost and it's hopeless, what you need to do is think about Jesus Christ dying for you, even though he knew you would do all of those things, and it should crush you, and it should break your heart, and you should call out to him and beg him for mercy, because you are simply so sorry that you have done those things when he has been so kind to you. And that's the formula for metanoia, for godly sorrow that leads to repentance, that will save you. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, your attitude toward the things that you now love, you're going to hate them. And you're going to start acting more and more like a godly man. And you're going to love his word more. And you're going to love him more. And you're going to be different, and you're going to know it. And if you're not, then you didn't get saved. Because your friends and everybody should be able to know, something happened to Joseph. He is so different. Not saying you need to go to a monastery. You're just going to have a new heart with new desires. So, Joseph,
dude,
I don't know you. But, man, if any of this is resonating with you, like, I think I might be a false convert, God's offer stands. Do not reject his amazing offer of his marvelous kindness. He says, if you will call out to him at just the right time, he will save you. Today is the day of salvation if you're not Joseph. So think about your sins and think about your Savior who's been kind enough to die for you. And that will lead you to repentance.
Yes, sir. I believe it's like a wall I have around my heart that I'm not allowing Christ in fully. I'm not allowing anyone in fully. And that's part of my problem.
Well, dude, it could be pride. It could be you love your sins. It could be shame. It could be all kinds of things. But until you come clean with God and you thrust yourself at his mercy, he's not ready to save you, dude, because God really hates pride. And if you have that and you're not willing to swallow hard and go, I am done with me, and I love Jesus more than sex, I love Jesus more than lying, I love Jesus more than blasphemy and lusting and pornography and gossip and doing all sorts, whatever it was that I love Jesus more. He won't save you because he's not going to take second place. He's not going to be in the back seat. He's the King of Kings, and he commands you this day to repent and put your trust in him. So, dude, if you need to settle this issue, think about these things so soberly, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, dude. I'm glad we met. See you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. Take care. Goodbye.
Bye.
Pray for Joseph. You heard the offer. It goes for you, too.
This is Wretched Radio. Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God, co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter Invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time, wretched.org/time, and join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter Invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that. For just $5 per Bible with Bible League International, we can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church, look to 1 Corinthians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. Going to hit the streets. Hi, Trish.
Hi, Todd. I'm wanting Emilio, my husband, to get a photo of the cook. He's tossing pizzas, right? That is incredible. Anyway, we're going to put him on the air. The chef of the pizza place. We're in Fort Worth at one of the best pizza places in my opinion, all of Texas.
You said that they're Christians there.
You know, not all of them, Todd.
Ah, got it.
Felix, the owner, hired this incredible chef. His name's Rob. He's been to our church several times, and, you know, he's just not walking with God. I said, did you feel that you had maybe had an experience or something happened where you got saved or something at some point? He said he never was 100% sure. He said he's never fully, like, given his life to the Lord. He's hanging on to, I guess, bitterness, and I'll let him tell you more, but he makes really good food. But that's not going to get you to heaven.
No. Unless it's Italian. No, that still wouldn't cut it. Okay, can you hold,
Trish,
just,
you have a Band-Aid?
Hold for a moment. Would you be so kind?
I'm not sure.
Absolutely.
But I think Todd nicked himself while he was shaving.
No, I'm dying here.
What'd you do?
I forgot to shave today.
Okay.
Right? And so I had to shave because, you know, the TV deal, right?
Okay.
So in my drawer, I've got these like 8-cent razors.
Yeah.
I shaved with soft soap. Is what I did.
How'd that work for you?
Like sandpaper, like a machine on my neck. And
oh,
I just...
Your poor little baby bottom skin.
Stop it.
Look what you've done.
So I took my germ killer because I had to kill some germs, and I decided to just wipe my face, and I put the germ killer on my neck, and it's burning,
That's
all right?
That's the burning part. Thank you.
I'm going to witness to somebody while my neck hurts. Does that come? All right.
Sure.
Let's have a chat with Rob, shall we, Trish?
Yeah, and I'm going to use some of that Purell myself and Manja. Okay, here he is, Rob.
Because you got a Purell before you Manja.
Hello.
Hey, Rob, how do you do?
Hi, I'm fine. How about you?
What's better, the thick crust or the thin crust?
It's all New York style, so it's hand-tossed.
How wide are the pieces of pizza when you cut them?
It just depends on the size of the pizza. I mean, an 18-inch pizza, an extra-large pizza, a slice is about 6 inches wide around the crust.
Because if they're really New York, then you got to fold them in half and eat them that way, because otherwise flop over. Is it that type of crust?
Oh, yes, sir.
You don't have any whole wheat crust, do you?
Oh, no, sir. I use just standard.
There we go.
White flour. I've thought about making a healthy pizza,
No. Nobody's buying it. We all know it's bad for us. We like it. It seems to be working out the pizza thing.
Yeah, definitely. Right.
So, Rob, it sounds like you are kind of not sure where you are at with God. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's 100% correct.
Okay. So, Rob, I'm going to make a prediction.
Yes, sir.
I think you know why.
Do you?
I don't know that I know. I think I might know, but I know you know.
Okay.
Because here's the way I see it, Rob. This is what the Bible says, all right?
Uh-huh.
The Bible says that we have a conscience, which means that we know when we sin.
Yes, sir.
Right? And so every time we look with lust, and Jesus said that's like adultery in the heart.
Yes, sir.
You know, those fantasy thoughts, the bad thoughts that we have about other women that are not ours.
Yes.
And we go, oh, I know it. Oh, boy. The lying. Bingo. We know it.
Yes.
I shouldn't have done. Stealing. Taking God's name in vain. Oh, I know I shouldn't do it. And then when you really know that God should thrash you and give you an eternal thumping in hell for your filthy thoughts alone, and then you hear the good news that his son, Jesus Christ, died to save me from the wrath of God, it is the sweetest offer ever.
Yes.
It's just the best ever. And there is no valid reason to reject that amazing offer of his loving kindness. So if you know that, there's got to be something that you are willfully doing in your life, in your brain, that you are thinking that is keeping you from surrendering. And I think you know what that thing is.
I've got a good idea.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's basically just that I recently, and I mean, this was probably, I would say 6 months ago, I recently just pulled myself out of a adulterous relationship. I was with a married woman. I continued to stay with her for 3 years, and all the while through my head, I had thoughts that I knew I was in sin, but I chose not to pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. And I finally got to a point where I was fed up. I knew I had to get out, and I thought, by doing that, I'm making this great decision, and I'm pushing myself towards God. But even out of it, I've remained neutral, and I've not continued to read or pray or go to church, and I remained neutral. I kept myself in a neutral state, and I didn't move forward. And there's occasions that I end up, I get stressed, I guess. I end up bitter, and I pull no interest off of it. On occasion, I have this feeling, I just pull no interest off of it. And I would think that my lifestyle is, you know, better for me. I know that it's not, but I'm still
struggling with these thoughts. Could I summarize it this way? This is gonna this is gonna be a hard line, okay? So brace yourself for this, okay? Mm-hmm. You love sex more than you love the Savior.
Many, many other things.
Okay. So let me tell you what Jesus said, okay? Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his very soul?"
Uh-huh.
It's better if your eye causes you to sin, to pluck it out, throw it away, and enter into heaven with one eye than it is to go to hell with both eyes.
I remember this scripture. It's better to enter into heaven mangled.
Yeah, but see, you love sins and worldly things more than you love the idea of Jesus and more than you love the idea of heaven. And I think that I know why that is the case too, Rob. Because Jesus has never appeared more interesting than sex to you. And so here's what I would like to encourage you to do today, if you're interested.
Yes, sir.
The way to suddenly see Jesus and go, "Huh, sex? No way. That isn't nearly as good as Jesus. No way. Making money, getting stuff, getting drunk, looking at porn, having a filthy mouth, whatever your thing is, dude. It's no way. I am not nearly as interested in that as I am in him." And here's how you get to that place. This is the little formula, and I would beg you to think about this today so clearly. Because, dude, if you died in your sins, you need to today think about your sins, okay? Rob.
Yes.
For 3 years, the affair. Not to mention, Jesus sees every lustful thought as adultery. So forget the adultery, the physical adultery. You've committed adultery in your head a bazillion times, right?
Yes, sir.
How many lies do you think you've told?
More than I should have.
How many times do you think you've taken God's name in vain?
I stopped doing that about a year ago.
Okay, but prior to that, how many times?
Way too many.
Okay, think of it like this, Rob. God provided your job, every meal, every penny in your pocket, every gulp of air that you've taken has been a gift from him. And you've taken his name and you've used it in a filthy, foul way, and he just kept giving you air. And he just kept saying, "Here, Rob, here's more blessings for you." You dragged his name through the mud, and he said, "I'm going to provide you with this kind experience. Here's another meal for you, Rob." And more than that, knowing that you did all of those things, he died to save you. But that will never appear amazing to you. It will never be glorious. It will never be more interesting than fornication until you recognize what God should do with you. And the way to get to that place is by thinking about your sins today. You got to think about them. All the crimes you've committed against God, who simply sat and didn't just wait for you to hear this message and respond, but has just poured out gift upon gift upon gift to you and has been more kind to you, and you have been nastier to him than anybody else in your life, and he's been the kindest to you.
Yes.
And until you understand that, and then, as if that's enough, he died to save you from the wrath of God. Until you get that, you're going to muddle around in neutral, and this will not be the last affair you ever have. And if you die in your sins, you will be without hope, and you will experience the wrath of God, which will be poured upon you in a furious fashion unlike anything you've ever experienced. You'd be better off jumping into that pizza oven because it would feel like air conditioning. And until you get to the place where you realize, "I'm a sinner so bad," you won't appreciate the cross, and it'll be, Christianity will be a game for you. And you'll just use it once in a while to make yourself feel better.
That's pretty much what I've done.
Yeah. So, dude, you know what the Bible says. Today you have been once again confronted with the gospel that Jesus Christ died to save you, a sinner, and that you must repent, apologize from your sins, turn from your sins, and put your trust in him. And he will forgive you and grant you everlasting life. And you won't be playing around in Christianity land anymore. You will become a Christian, and he will save you, and you'll know it, and you will start growing in holiness, and you'll go to heaven when you die because of a gracious God who saved Rob. So you've heard the gospel now, and here's just a little more bad news for you, dude.
Yes, sir.
Hell gets hotter for two reasons, okay?
Uh-huh.
The number of sins that you commit and how grotesque they are, and your knowledge. You have now got complete and full knowledge of the gospel, and if you reject this again today and you die, hell will be far more furious for you because you knew the truth, but you've rejected it, okay?
Yes, sir.
So think soberly, dude. I know you're busy making pizzas, but don't put this off, all right, dude?
Yeah, we're not that busy right now. It's
then, dude,
slow time.
Time to take a break, walk outside, and think soberly about these things, all right, dude?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. See ya.
You need to talk to Trish?
Nope.
All right, thank you.
But she'll want to talk to you, dude. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. And your name was what?
Todd.
Todd, I appreciate it.
See you, dude. We'll be praying for you, all right, mate? Please do that. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. The Ghanaian government last week blocked an upcoming gathering of LGBT activists. The July conference would have been the first of its kind in West Africa, and organizers plan to invite global leaders to discuss how to push for changes to laws. Conservative campaigners urged the government not to provide visas for participants, and an online petition received nearly 19,000 signatures in 1 week. And while you might think it's related to the COVID-19 virus spread, it's not. While Ghana has not prosecuted anyone for homosexuality in recent years, the practice is still illegal in the country. Meantime, there was some intrigue in Magnolia, Texas. In 2018, the fastest-growing county in the country, thanks to the urban sprawl from Houston, decided to raise its water rates. Now, while everyone in the small town felt the pinch, the churches felt the pinch even more. The city levied additional fees on nonprofit groups, schools, and places of worship. Oh, wait for it. To cover its bigger water bills, First Baptist Church in Magnolia cut funding to its free Christian counseling center by about $13,000. Church officials say this extra water fee significantly burdens their free exercise of religion. On top of that, here we are, city officials carried out a series of legal maneuvers unknown to the churches to undercut the church's ability to defend its rights in court. By the way, if you're wondering, the new increase was written so that it was a higher base rate and increased usage rates per 1,000 gallons for what the city considered institutional, nonprofit, tax-exempt customers. Roughly speaking, churches paid up to 50% more than those of normal commercial entities. And because of some wheeling and dealing done in Austin, the churches couldn't go to court. Now, with the help of attorneys from First Liberty, First Baptist, and two other congregations, Magnolia Bible Church and Believers Fellowship have convinced a judge to reinstate their rights and let them sue the city for hitting them with extra taxes when they are supposed to be tax-exempt. A Texas appellate court is now weighing whether the city can get away with not only an assault on the church's freedom of religion, but also their right to due process. What a world. A federal judge in North Carolina had a message for two street evangelists last week. Pipe down and don't be a nuisance. Patrick O'Connell, Jason Crowley, tried to carry a 9-foot cross into Mumfest. It's an annual festival in New Bern, North Carolina. They attended the street festival in 2015 and 2017, but town police blocked them from using a megaphone or carrying the cross through the streets. Officers cited a city ordinance limiting sound amplification to 100 feet and handheld signs to 40 inches in length. U.S. District Judge Louise Flanagan ruled last week that the ordinances reasonably restricted the time, place, and manner of free speech based on public safety. But Flanagan allowed the evangelist to sue an officer who moved them to the sidewalk and placed a beeping fire truck and utility cart between them and festival attendees. Wowzers. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, Pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish.
Hi, how are you?
You're at the mall?
Yes, and it's hot and muggy today. And I found a young girl named Victoria who says that, you know, she's a Christian. And so I asked her, what are you relying on to get you to heaven? And she said her faith. She said, you know, she's a pretty good person because she hasn't really done anything bad. To go to heaven, you need to be a good person. If you go to church, that's okay. You don't have to necessarily go to church. If you don't have time, that's all right. So that's kind of her story. She's a young girl. Her name's Victoria.
You know, Ray, when I hear that, it breaks my heart because it just sounds like a dog's breakfast. And I would rather have somebody say, oh, well, how you get to heaven? Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. I don't rely on faith. I don't rely on works. I rely on Jesus. Oh, but I've rejected that completely. I'd rather hear that than somebody who kind of, you know, you rely on good works. Oh, and your faith. And as long as you go to church. And then we have to go and unwind a lot of this, and it's very difficult to try to explain, well, here's the difference in what we're trying to describe. It's almost easier to work with a clean slate.
Oh, a clean plate. We're talking about dog's breakfast.
Or a clean plate, for that matter. Mm-hmm. All righty, let's give it a go with Victoria, shall we?
Thank you so much.
All righty,
Victoria.
All righty, here we go, right? Take it away. Mr. Comfort.
Hello?
Hey, Victoria, does anyone call you Vicky?
Yeah, actually, they do.
Can I call you Vicky?
Yeah, that's fine.
You can call me Ray, if you so desire. Vicky, what are you going to do with your life? What do you hope to do?
Well, I hope to finish college and...
How old are you?
I'm 17.
Okay, so you got a lot ahead of you.
Yes.
Then what are you going to do?
I plan on majoring in psychology and opening up my own practice. After that, I hope to have a family and, you know, get married and have a wonderful life.
Get married and have a family. That's great. There's a good order to go with that. So here's a scenario for you. This is a psychology thing for you. It's 1938. You've got Adolf Hitler in your sights of a high-powered rifle. Mm-hmm. You've got one shot. Would you take him out? You're going to save 6 million Jews, as well as a lot of homosexuals and gypsies and blacks. One movement of your finger will save 6 or 7 million lives of just agony and torture and suffering.
I guess I would.
Okay, it's about 1890. You got Adolf Hitler's mummy in your sight. She's 9 months pregnant with Adolf. Do you take her out? You've only got one shot.
No, because she has a baby.
Yeah, well, the baby's Adolf.
Oh, well.
And if you let her have the baby, then he's going to go and take all those lives. I mean, it's a moral dilemma, isn't it? You think, yes, oh boy, that one's difficult.
Yeah, that is.
So what's making you hesitate?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, but you could do it with Adolf when he's standing there, but you couldn't do it with his mum, huh?
No, I couldn't.
I know how you feel. Now, does God come into the equation?
Yes.
So you're thinking that God might not be happy with the scenario of the mother type thing?
Yeah, because that's kind of innocent. He hasn't done anything wrong yet.
Yeah. Okay, I'm dying. I've got a knife in my back. I've got 3 minutes to live. How can I get to heaven? And I've lived a really bad life. What would you tell me?
I would just tell you to pray and say sorry.
I'm praying and I'm telling God I'm sorry, but I still feel I'm in big trouble because I've committed adultery. I've lied and stolen and I've been a blasphemous person all my life. And I'm saying I'm sorry to God, but it's just not helping and I've got 2 minutes to live. What would you tell me? How can I get to heaven? I'm scared of going to hell. That's what's really scaring me.
Well, if I was in that situation, I would just pray and just keep praying and have faith that he will, like, forgive me for all of the things that I did.
Okay. Why would God forgive me?
Because I believe God forgives everybody. As long as you really, truly, deeply feel sorry for the things that you've done, I believe that he forgives you.
Just have to be sorry. That's all I need to do?
Well, I think you should be sorry and be... able to accept the punishment for the things that you've done. You know, I don't think he's just going to let you be, you know, okay, and you probably will go to heaven, but I'm pretty sure you'll have some type of punishment.
So I'll end up in hell for a little while? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, but I think that he'll probably make you, like, have to do something to make sure...
I got 1 minute. Quick, tell me what I got to do. 1 minute. I'm dying. So you say I got to do something? What do I got to do?
I don't know. Whatever, if he asks you to do something, I don't know.
Boy, so you can't really help me. I'm terrified of going to hell, and you say I got to do something, but you don't know what I got to do.
Well, no, because God has to tell you what you have to do.
I've just gone. Okay, let's see how you're going to do. If you're dying in 3 minutes, where are you going?
Heaven.
Okay, let's find out. Is it because you're a good person?
Part of it, yeah.
What's the other part?
I pray and I have faith and I try to live my life right and not sin as much as I can.
No, not sin as much as you can. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if you're a good person. And the standard I'm going to use is the Ten Commandments, the standard I use for my dying self. You know, I'd lied and stolen and blasphemed God's name and committed adultery. So how many lies do you think you've told in your life, Victoria?
Honestly, I don't know.
You mean you lost count?
Yeah. So
what do you call somebody who tells lies?
What do you call somebody that tells lies?
That's the question.
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something in your whole life, even if it's small?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals things?
a stealer? I don't know.
A thief.
A thief, okay.
Kind of hard to say. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Probably a couple times, yeah.
Okay, that's very serious. God gave you life and you've used his name as a cuss word. That's called blasphemy. Now, Jesus said if you have a sexual desire or thought in your heart for another person, you commit adultery. Have you ever done that?
No.
Oh, that's commendable that you've got a pure heart. So, there's bad news. Listen to this. And if you're dying in 2 minutes, you're a lying thief and a blasphemer.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you gonna avoid hell? Because the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You're going to be guilty on Judgment Day. What could you say to God and what could you do to justify yourself? You said you have to do something, but you didn't know what it was. What are you going to do to get into heaven? Because it sounds like you've got some punishment coming to you, too.
Well, I think he looks at some of the good things that you've done in your life, too. So
what sort of things? I mean, what makes up for blasphemy?
I think what makes up for the things is if you help out other people. And
okay, let's just stop there for a minute, Vicky, and follow the logic of it. Imagine if I'd committed a very serious crime. I'd raped a young lady. I tied her up, raped her, and then strangled her to death. And I said, Judge, I'm guilty, it's true, but I do good things for people. I give to Red Cross, and I sent them money. The judge is going to say, what are you talking about? You think you can make up for taking of a young girl's life by giving money? A judge would be angry. What an abomination to a judge that I would try and justify myself in the face of such a serious crime. And it's the same with what you're doing. You don't realize it, but lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. We've committed very serious crimes with our sins. And by saying, God, I'll do some things to make up for it, we're trivializing our crimes against God. And the Bible says this, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The only thing that you and I can do to be saved from hell is fling ourselves upon the mercy of the judge. And the Bible says God is rich in mercy to all that call upon him. And the reason God can extend his mercy toward you, Vicky, and save you from hell is because he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. And on that cross, Jesus took the punishment for every sin you've ever committed. You broke God's law, and Jesus paid your fine. That means God can legally dismiss your case. He can remit your sins so that you don't have to be punished in the slightest degree because Jesus took the punishment for you. That means God can freely, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, grant you the gift of everlasting life. He can allow you to live. But what you must do to receive that, you had part of it right, you've got to be sorry for your sins and repent. Show your sorrow by your repentance, like turning from your sin. The second thing you must do is trust alone in Jesus Christ for your salvation. Not your goodness, but in him as your Savior and Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, Todd, would you like to talk to Vicky?
Would love to talk to Vicky. How do you do, Vicky? I'm Todd.
Hi.
Is what that? Do you understand what that fellow was saying to you?
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, do you think that you've done that, Vicky?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So
I haven't done anything really, really bad, so...
Oh, okay. So you would still think you're a pretty good person?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why do you think, then, it took God dying for your sins if you're not really all that bad?
I don't know. Maybe because I don't know. I really haven't lived my whole life yet. I don't know what will happen in the future.
Okay. Well, Vicky, I want to challenge you to something today, okay? You didn't know this, but you're getting homework right now, young lady. Here it is. The Bible says that our hearts are wicked and deceitful above all things. Mm-hmm. And that our sins, the Bible uses really strong language like dog vomit, like an open sore, the smell of an open grave. It says we're really, really bad people. So I would like to challenge you. It sounds like either the Bible is right on this, Victoria, or you're right on this. Would you spend some time today just thinking about that issue? Are you really a good person? Or when you take a close look at those Ten Commandments, is it true that the Bible is right and that we're all really, really bad and we really, really need a Savior? Could I ask you to ponder that today?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for the chat, okay?
No problem.
All right, goodbye.
All right, bye.
That would explain some of the confusion. At the core, when an individual doesn't realize that they need a Savior, well, then they can still think that they can work their way there, and we can't. Either the Bible is right, or we are. I'm sticking with the book.
This is Wretched Radio. Imagine, it's Sunday morning. The alarm clock rings. Bring. Sorry, we got a budget. We don't have much for sound effects here. Bring. The alarm bell goes off. You jump out of bed, excited to get ready for a day at church. You put your little gaggle into the minivan. You arrive at church. You greet everybody happily. You sit down, but wait. There's no pastor. That is what it is like for thousands and thousands of Christians in thousands of churches. They have buildings, they have pulpits, and no shepherds to fill them. We can change that by supporting the Master's Academy International, many seminaries around the globe. Visit wretched.org/pastor. Pick your favorite country and adopt a seminary, and let's fill pulpits together. wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for being here. Always appreciate that you spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. We also very much appreciate hearing from you. Whether it's a question, a comment, a conundrum, or a snark, or if you'd like to share your wretched story with us, love to hear it. idea@wretched.org is the email, or voicemail us at Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP. Just keep it clean and pithy, if you would. Can I share an email with you? Hello, Wretched. I'm Frank from Uganda. Right now, working in Ethiopia, Wretched Radio has blessed me. I have been only downloading YouTube videos by Todd, and now I listen live on the radio. I still press on and need Christ to continue helping me out in all the challenges and temptations over here. Blessings, Frank. Would you like to help us make more wretched stories like this possible? Partner with us to share the gospel with millions around the world. Become a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish, who you got?
I'm outside of the shopping mall, and It's a great day today. We're all sweating intensely out here. And Marcus, a nice...
it's one of those outdoor deals. That's why.
I played it smart, you guys. If I go inside the mall, I usually get in trouble. So I'm outside and I haven't had any problems.
No, that's better. That's just wiser. You could stand in front of the doors, and that way when people open up, at least you get a little whoosh of the air conditioning coming at you.
Yeah. I'm going to bring some out for you.
So what's the name of the fellow who's standing there with you, Trish?
He's really nice. His name is Marcus, and he is a rapper. And he stopped up, and I said, you know, tell me your thoughts on God. What do you think happened after you die? And he said, well, because I'm a Christian, this may be a little strange, and it might sound weird. He said, but I think that you need to obey the Ten Commandments. And if you don't obey them, you'll keep being reincarnated until you can obey them perfectly. So he's not a Christian rap artist. He has friends that are, but he raps. And he actually wants to give us a two-second taste of one of his clean raps. What do you think of that?
Oh, are you kidding? We'd insist.
We insist on it, Marcus. You ready? Okay, here we go. Clean version.
Try not to
no
get
cussing.
Down with your bad
okay.
self, Ray.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, do hey. It, Marcus. Go.
These younger brothers see these older brothers getting cash. But what they don't see is the bad side of living fast. They try so hard to keep a hold on whatever they grab. Think about longevity in this game. You know that there don't last. Come up off a brother's blast, down behind a brother's blast. The game is certainly complicated when brothers are dying way too fast. He was on an endless path. Listen to the devil laugh. Decide to sell his soul to roll and roll right into the wrath. Oh, wait, that's a little bit. There you go.
Marcus, all right. You said yeah. I have to obey the Ten Commandments to get to heaven?
Yeah.
And I could come back as something else?
I don't know. My theory is, like, you die, and before you get to go to either place, they look at your record or whatever, and you have to come back.
Who's they?
Obey. I guess the decision maker.
Who's that?
Maybe God. I don't know.
Are you making this up?
No.
Where do you get it from?
I mean, it's more than in detail, but I really can't explain it. It's just my personal thought.
So it's not from the Bible, it's just you're making it up?
No, it's just my personal thought.
Okay, so this Ten Commandments stuff, how many have you kept?
Probably about three or four.
You've kept three or four, so you've broken six or seven? Marcus, you're going to come back as a cockroach.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't just honestly say it right off like I've kept eight or nine or...
Well, let's find out.
That wouldn't be an honest statement, so I really don't know.
Well, let's find out. You shall not covet, 10th commandment. Have you ever wanted something to belong to somebody else?
What do you mean? Have I ever took it?
No, you ever wanted it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the 10th broken. What about the 9th? You shall not lie. Have you ever told a lie in your life?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so you're a liar?
Well, everybody has told a lie.
Okay, so you've broken the 9th. Have you ever stolen something in your life?
No.
Even if it's small? Come on, you told me you're a liar. I want the truth. Even if it's small, irrespective of its value.
Maybe as a child, but as an adult, no.
Okay, so what do you call someone who steals things?
Thief, I guess.
Okay, that's the 10th, 9th, and the 8th you've broken. 7th is you shall not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery?
No.
Now, Jesus said if you look at a woman and desire her sexually, if you lust for her, you commit adultery with her in the heart. Ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah, I have.
So you're broken the 7th. Have you ever killed anybody?
No.
Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Have you ever hated somebody?
Yeah, I have.
There goes the 6th. And the 5th, which says honor your father and mother, because you haven't honored their good name because you're a self-admitted lying thief and adulterer and a murderer at heart.
Man.
And there goes the 4th, because you failed to keep the Sabbath holy because you've done all those things and you haven't honored God. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Hey,
no.
you told me you're a liar. I want the truth here. Ever used his name even once and Vane said, oh my God.
I have said that.
That's not giving
man,
God's name.
Man, this is not looking good.
So there goes the 3rd. You've also broken the 2nd because obviously your understanding of God isn't correct. You've made a God in your own image. And the 1st, you haven't put God first and loved him because you've used his name as a cuss word. So on Judgment Day, do you think you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I will be very guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Oh, man, I don't want to say.
Well, I can help you. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator is going to enter the kingdom of God, so you're in big trouble.
But he forgives, though.
Are you absolutely certain? Would you bet your life on that God just forgives?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, well, you are betting your life, and you're wrong. The Bible says God doesn't just forgive. There's got to be a condition on his forgiveness. Do you understand what it is?
You have to... No, explain it to me.
Well, think of yourself in a court of law.
Wrong.
you've committed very serious crimes, like you've murdered and you've raped and you say,
no,
judge.
Well,
but just as it's a scenario, it's a scenario. Just surmise that you've done that. You're standing in front of the judge. You're guilty of a terrible crime like rape and murder, and you say, judge, I just want to ask for your forgiveness. I'm out of here. He's not going to say, you can go because I forgive you, and God's exactly the same.
Okay.
The judge in a court of law, if he's good, must see that justice is done. And it's exactly the same with God. And God made a way for his justice to be done and his mercy extended. And it was through the death of Jesus on the cross. When he was on the cross, he was paying the fine for the law that you violated. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments. Jesus paid your fine when he suffered on that cross. And then he rose from the dead on the third day. And now God can dismiss your case because Jesus paid your fine. He can legally let you go from the demands of justice because your fine was paid through the blood of Christ. And what you must do is repent, Marcus, turn from sin, not just say I'm sorry or not just be sorry, but you've got to turn from sin, repentance, and put your trust in Jesus Christ entirely for your eternal salvation. The minute you do that, God will dismiss your case. You'll walk out of the courtroom. He'll let you go. He'll allow you to live. He'll grant you the gift of everlasting life. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
That's the straight biblical gospel. So here's the big question. If you were to die today, according to the Bible, you'd end up in hell. Do you understand that?
Yes.
You have to do two things to be saved. Do you remember what they are?
You have to repent.
Repent is one. What's the second thing?
And you have to turn your life over to the Lord.
Trust in him for your salvation. Okay, when are you going to do that, Marcus?
Right now.
Right now. Okay, Todd, would you like to talk to Marcus?
Marcus, do you have any questions about what that fellow just said?
No, he explained it very well.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it just all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I see why Jesus Christ died on a cross, because I'm in big trouble and he came to rescue me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the first part of the story is exceedingly scary that you and I are on a highway to hell unless somebody pays our fine. So here's the good news. The Bible says this, Marcus, if you will come to him, he will in no wise, there's no way he'll cast you out. If you come to him humbly, repentantly, sorry for your sins, turning from your sins, cast yourself at his feet for his mercy and he'll forgive you. It's a guarantee. So Marcus, would love to see you in heaven, dude. Repentance and faith. Think about your sins, call out to God, and put your trust in him. Okay, dude?
Okay.
All right. Hey, take care.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
We'll be praying for you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. All righty, Ray. Once again, we need to remind people who are maybe tuning in and they're thinking, hey, whoa, 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 that fish was right on the hook. You should have reeled him in with the sinner's prayer. Why not?
Or close the deal, as we'd often said. Well, let me say, I've said
that.
What's that?
Who says that? Close the deal.
Well, that's the term it's used. You're trying to sell something, you've got to close the deal.
Alrighty.
I prayed the sinner's prayer with 28 of my buddies when I was first saved. I had the little four spiritual flaws booklet that doesn't mention the commandments, doesn't mention future punishment, doesn't mention hell, doesn't mention judgment day, and holds up Jesus as a life improver. And I went one after the other saying, say this prayer, thinking they were going to get what I had. And they didn't. They were false converts whose latter end became worse than the first. Mm. They became bitter, so-called backsliders who didn't backslide. They never slid forward in the first place. They were false converts. So I am terrified, if I may use that term, of meddling in with what God's doing. I want someone to be born of the Spirit, not of the will of the flesh. I can get decisions real easy. All I need to do to say to Marcus, Marcus, do you want to pray with me right now your name can be written in heaven?
Yeah.
And he'd say, yeah, I do. I mean, who doesn't? So just repeat this after me. Whammo! We got a decision on the radio, but I'm not wanting that. I want this guy to fall on his face before God and weep for his sins and then get up at that and look at that cross and say, oh, if he did that for me, I'll do anything for him. So he becomes a laborer and he begins reaching to seek and save that which is lost. And that's what we want. That's what will bring about revival, not filling our churches with false converts. We've already got that.
We were talking to a young man and he was like, I got it. Yes, I understand. I need to do that right now. And then Ray said something that both you and I talked about as soon as we went off the air. And that was, he said, hey, but listen, I got to go to football practice right now.
Yeah.
And you and I both just went, oh, no. Because if he was truly at the point of complete brokenness, horrified that God was going to deal with him on Judgment Day, but the cross, the beautiful cross, he wouldn't go to football practice. He wouldn't pick up his lottery winnings. He would fall to his face now. and repent and put his trust in Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean the kid didn't get saved yesterday, because God's dealing with him. It's not our time. We don't close the deal at that moment. But, Ray, conversion is that serious of a thing that it's not just like, oh, okay, well, let's give it a toss. What am I supposed to do?
It's more important than brain surgery. I'd rather be a brain surgeon messing around with a scalpel on someone's brain than doing what we're doing and messing around when it comes to their eternity.
So when somebody is getting convicted by the Holy Spirit, believe me, you're going to see it, you're going to know it, and you're almost going to want to run away from it because they should really want nothing to do with you. They just want to deal with their God right now. So we'll be praying for Marcus. God will deal with them. God does the saving. We just do the preaching, not the closing. That's his territory, and we do not want to get into his job description. Thank you.
Until next time, go serve your King.